This morning, would you turn with me to Mark chapter 14, and we'd like to draw your attention to verse 54. Through the reading this last week, getting ready for the study, wanted to minister on the life of Peter, but have taught concerning Peter many times and why he backslid and some of the characteristics of why he turned away and denied the Lord and even cursed the Lord. And so I would skip it and go on to find something else I thought would be a little bit more fresh and a little bit more revealing, and would come back to Peter walking afar off. And so did that 3-4 times. And finally, last night, I was reading through once again, and a word, actually two words, jumped up and just really ministered to my own heart. And so I thought that I would bring the Word of God to you here in the 14th chapter, verse 54, where it goes on to declare, "And Peter followed him afar off." Now, oftentimes I have encouraged you to underline that because there was a distance between him and his Lord, even unto the palace of the high priest, which would be Caiaphas, the high priest there. "And he sat with the servant and warmed himself at the fire." I had never seen the word "set," and he sat with the servant. And the word I want you to underline is "warmed himself." Warmed himself. Father, we ask that you would help us to understand the danger of warming ourselves. Lord, we need to be warmed by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we do not have the ability to minister to our own needs. And Father, there are two fires out there among us. There is the fire of lust and the fire of the world. And there is the fire of the Holy Spirit and the passion of God. Lord, open our eyes and our hearts. Help us to be honest as we listen to your word. And remind us that, God, that you will take us from one fire to another, or you will take us deeper in the fire that we are in. And we will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Throughout the Bible, when you get all the way through reading verse by verse, chapter by chapter, from Genesis to Revelation, you will find that there are many different types of fires that the Lord has mentioned through his word. As we look into the word, you remember in Exodus chapter 3, verse 2, there was the burning bush. And it was that place where God ministered to the life of Moses. Moses was at the very end of his life. He had lived in Egypt, been taught the wonders of Egypt, the glory of Egypt. He had buried a man, thinking that he was in the will of God, looking this way and that way, but really not looking up. And he was found out that he had killed someone. So he had to flee, and into the wilderness he went for another 40 years to take the glory of Israel out of his life, or the glory of Egypt out of his life, and to redo and to help him rethink really what his life was all about. And towards the end of the 80 years, we find that one day he was broken, devastated, at the end of himself, could no longer speak. He saw a bush burning. He went to the bush, and the Bible declares he turned, and the Bible then says that when he turned, then God turned. And he got close to the bush, and the bush spoke to him, "Take off your shoes, for the place you stand is holy ground." And it was there that God sanctioned and God called Moses. It was there that God revealed the glory and the power and the anointing of God in his life. And it was there that it became a real deal. Jehovah was really God. It wasn't a myth. It wasn't something just destined, but he saw the reality of a God within his life and a bush that didn't burn and the miraculous miracle of how God wants to do and speak and heal and minister to our lives, but he is holy. And that bush burned in a sense of a holiness of God. He left that bush and began to do the work of the Lord, and we find him delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt. And the Bible declares in Exodus chapter 13, verse 21, that a pillar of fire led them out. And the pillar of fire separated them from the world. And the pillar of fire was able to protect them and also warm them from those bitter, cold winter nights that they were going to go through. Later on, we came to know that fire as the Shekinah glory, where God, through Solomon, prayed, and through David, prayed, and the fire descended, and the people gathered around the tabernacle, and they were to have their tents open towards the Shekinah glory. So on the west, on the east, on the north, the south, their tents would always be opened looking at the glory of God. And God wanted them to see his glory first thing in the morning. He wanted them to see his glory before they went to bed. And he wanted them to see his glory when it was time to move on down the road. And they followed that pillar of fire. It went before them. It went behind them. It warmed them. It became a wonderful thing in their life. And we find in the book of Revelation that God is going to destroy Russia 5-6 by the pillar of fire. God's going to descend upon the Russian army. And so the fire of God's word all the way through. We find in the book of Leviticus a tragic day happened in the life of Aaron. His two boys, Nadab and Abihu, in Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1, came in before the Lord to sacrifice. But they were not prepared to be before God. And God killed them. And he came to Aaron through Moses and said, "Do not weep for your children. If you weep for your children, you will declare that I was wrong and your children were right. And Aaron, you know that your children were wrong because they brought before me a strange fire." And we don't know really what the strange fire is. And I'm glad, because if we would say that it would be alcohol, which many believe it was, then it would take away from the pornography, or it would take away from the cocaine. And there are many people that are bringing a strange fire into their relationship with Christ. They are living a double standard, and they are in danger of being dealt with by God. And God doesn't want a strange fire. He wants his own fire, and he is a very jealous God, and he will not share his glory or his fire or his power with anyone. And so we come to God broken and devastated, and he will give to us his power, but he will not share his power with a whole nother lifestyle. And so we must make a choice. If God be God, then serve him. If Baal be God, then serve him. But choose you this day who you're going to serve. And the choice determines the outcome or the destiny of our lives. We continue through the Bible and we find that Elijah said to those prophets of Baal, "Gather together your men and sacrifice and build an altar and call upon your God, and the God that answers from heaven will be the God that we worship." And there in 1 Kings in chapter 18, as Elijah was mocking them and making fun of them, "Where is your God? Is he taking a break? Is he using the restroom?" I think NIV says, "Is he doing something else?" We find Elijah begin to pray, and fire came down and consumed the altar, and the rock and the water and everything was consumed. And then Elijah turned and he destroyed 450 prophets of Baal that day. We find that in the book of Isaiah in chapter 43 in verse 2 that when you walk through the river, be not afraid. When the floods begin to overcome you, be not overwhelmed. When you find yourself in the midst of fire, do not panic, for I will be with you, saith the Lord. It became a great comfort to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as they were thrown into the fiery furnace that was heated 7 times greater by Nebuchadnezzar. And he looked inside and said, we threw 3 in, but now I see a 4th, and he looks like the Son of Man. And they were rejoicing inside the fire of affliction, which was to purify their own hearts. I find that one day, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13, that my works will be revealed by fire. And that many will be entering the kingdom of God, and they have done the work of God to the glory of God, and they have built upon the right foundation. And so the gold, the precious stones have been purified, but there are others who have built their life upon wood, hay, and stubble. Though they are saved and in the kingdom of God, they have lived a wasted life and they have lost their reward, but yes, they are in heaven. And so the works will be tried. My motivations, my heart, the intent of my life, God will reveal those hidden secret thoughts in my life. And then we know according to Revelation in chapter 20, there is that lake of fire where he will take the Antichrist and the false prophet and throw Satan in there with them. And all that do not follow the Lord, they will be consumed. And then God will make a new heaven and a new earth. Paul picks up the very same thought in Hebrews where he declares that we live among a consuming fire. And Deuteronomy chapter 4 says he is a consuming fire and he is a jealous God and he will not share his glory with anyone. And so when I begin to realize over and over again, we live in the midst of this fire. And the reason why that I'm kind of belaboring the point about the different types of fires in the Bible is because in our text, Peter found himself in front of two fires. Two fires became a reality within Peter's life. There was the fire that we find here in Mark chapter 14, where he is now warming himself by the cares of this world. And as I shared at the very beginning of the study, I've always seen Peter standing, communicating. I've never really read carefully enough that he is now sitting, which is even worse. So the progression goes from following afar off to now standing by the fire, to denying those around him, to denying his own friends, and finally to denying his own Lord, where he is now rejected and the Lord looks upon him and the rooster crows and off he takes back to the final destruction. He went back to his old lifestyle, fishing. But the second fire that we find him at is, you don't need to turn there, but we'll get there in just a few moments, is when he was fishing after the resurrection. Jesus said, did you catch anything, my son? No. Are you tired? Yeah. Are you hungry? Yes. Well, come to my fire, and on that fire there is fish and bread, and we can sit down and we can talk. Now you have a choice this morning. Which fire you want to hang out with? The one fire will completely strip you. It will consume you. Because you might say in your heart, I can make it through and have both lifestyles. But may I remind you that if you choose that lifestyle, not only have you made the wrong choice, but you now have become an enemy with God. And he who is a friend of this world is an enemy with God. And God will destroy the very thing you're seeking to build. Is that fair? Absolutely. Would you give your child a razor blade? No. Would you allow your 2-year-old child to play with a skill saw? No. Would you take it away from them? Yes. Would they hate you for it? Yes. But love is greater than hate. And out of love for him having 2 arms when he's 21, you have to hurt him to save him. And God is willing to send you to the bottom of a well to deliver you from yourself. And when we come to this passage, we find that many things begin to equate to why Peter ended up here. When it says that Peter warmed himself, I think it's a great commentary on our lives. We have a tendency to warm ourselves. You remember Jesus spoke to Peter that, Peter, I want you and the boys to go out and preach the gospel and come back in and tell me what has taken place. And they went out and by 2 and 2 and they came back in and they begin to boast of how the enemy were in submission to them. And Jesus said, come away, boys, and because you are given too much credence to your power over the enemy, and you have failed to realize who I am. And that was Peter's really beginning of the downfall. He was glorying in himself. And the Bible declares, let another man glory in you. You are not to glory in who you are. You are not to let what you do be seen of man. They were excited. They were pumped, and God had done a great work, but it was Jesus Christ that should have got the glory. But it was them, and they were overwhelmed, and it was just a moment. And of course, the Lord straightened them out. And we find a little bit further as you read that things begin to happen among them. We find that Peter was beginning to say, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And instantly, Jesus reminded Peter, this came from my Father. And Peter, I don't want you to take the credit. I don't want you to think that it was you that did this. I don't want you to get lifted up with authority. Peter, you were an instrument. God chose to use you. Don't allow yourself to get puffed up. But Peter heard that Christ was going to the cross, and Peter lifted up in pride because he had a great moment of revelation, came to Jesus and said, you don't need to go the way of the cross. And Jesus declared, get thee behind me, Satan, because you are not concerned about the things of the kingdom of God. So he was not tuned in to the spiritual things of the kingdom. We find Peter going on having problems in the upper room, where he did not wash our Lord's feet, which was a custom because Christ was the master. So he had lost the privilege. He did not no longer see Christ as his master. He was his equal because he didn't wash his feet. And so Jesus stood up and girded a towel and began to wash each other's feet. And he taught them there in John 13 that this is what you are to do. You are to serve one another. But Peter couldn't serve John because there was this turmoil going on in his heart. A little bitterness was beginning to go. We find then Jesus speaking to Peter, Peter, I want you to love and I want you to wash their feet. And Peter didn't want to. John has the better seat. And he was jealous. He was jealous and he was angry and he was no longer wanting to serve. And Jesus saw that. And as they went out of the upper room and there into the garden, he said, Peter, would you watch with me 1 hour? And Peter fell asleep. And when you begin to fall asleep, you begin to have problems majorly in your life. Oh, it will start with an authority problem. It will start with the glory being upon me. It will go down a road that I'm no longer able to serve because I'm too good. It will come to a point that I'm now criticizing and pointing because John has the upper seat. Finally, to a point where Jesus said, "Will you pray with me?" And Peter fell asleep because there was nothing in him spiritually to keep him alive. And when Jesus came back the third time, he wasn't angry. He just said, "Peter, sleep on." But when Peter woke up, had not prayed, he grabbed a sword and took the ear off. And Peter was now in the flesh, and it's getting worse. He's angry, and where in the world did he get the sword? And it was a 4-foot sword, and what did he do? He was a fisherman. What's he doing with a sword? And finally, we find in our text that they took Christ, and he followed afar off. To Peter's credit, he was following along with John, and the others left. And Jesus said to Peter, "You will deny me tonight, all of you." And he would not listen to Christ, and so he said, "No, you might, they might, I will never deny you." Pride. Then Jesus said, "Peter, Satan is going to take you and begin to shake you, but I'm praying for you, and when you are healed, strengthen your brother. Though all forsake you, I will not." Well, Jesus spoke to him the word of God. He wouldn't listen. God spoke to him through Christ, the Son of God. "Peter, you're going to be tempted." He didn't heed the warning, and God is speaking to many of us. And we know what we need to do, and so because we say no, we are heading towards the disaster. And so now he's walking afar off, and he's at a distance and no longer in intimacy with God. And yes, coming to fellowship, but not reading the word, and sitting here, but not worshiping the Lord. And the heart is far off, but the lips are here, and there's a distance between us and the Lord. And then we find ourselves attracted towards a light, being drawn towards this light and this horrible dark path, and we are kind of pulled into this light, and we are standing around this light. And someone says, "You're one of those." No. Peter denied his faith. "I'm not a Christian. What are you talking about?" And you put yourself in a position where it's hard to tell people that you love the Lord the way you've been acting. And another servant came back and said, "No, your speech betrays you. No, I never knew them." And now we find Peter forsaking his very best friends, who have been his friends all of his life and were in business with him as entrepreneurs, and now he has turned on them. "No, you are one of him." And Peter now curses his Lord and says, "I never knew the man." And the rooster crowed, and we read that the eyes of the Lord and Peter saw, and Peter knew that he hit the bottom. Jesus was taken and crucified, and Peter was never able to say that he was sorry. Two men went through a door that day. Judas went through the door of sin and lost Christ forever. Peter ran into the everlasting arms of Jesus. You see, the fire of this world, the fire that burns, the fire that is pulling you, the fire of lust, the fire of greed, the fires of this world are very powerful. So powerful you cannot say no. When you ignite those passions, when you take that little moment of snorting cocaine, when you take that little sip of alcohol, when you go down that little road of whatever it is in your life, prescription, whatever it might be, it just goes down a deeper and deeper road, and you are seeking to fill an emptiness with the things of this world. And Jesus said, "If you drink of this well, you're never going to thirst again." And yet men are drawn to this fire. It is an exciting thing to see the campground. People are filled with excitement. People are around and, "Hey, let's go hang out with the crowd and be like the crowd." And over here you have a simple fire, which is Jesus. I mean, that's no fun. And Peter, at the very end, just realized that he was in trouble. And I wonder, this morning, what is drawing me? What place am I at? How do I get to the fire of this world? How do I stay away from the fire of this world? And the answers are pretty simple. When God speaks, we need to listen. When God tells us or warns us, we need to pray. When God commissions us, we need to do it as unto the Lord and stay wide awake. We need to listen to the mind of God, that is not the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but spiritual, to the pulling down of the strong. That we need to be willing to die, even if it means losing everything, because we can't afford to get too far away from the Lord. And they understood. They didn't want to go down that road. And neither do I. Because the road leads to Calvary. The road leads to ultimate shame. When you are reviled, you are to revile not. When you are persecuted, you are to persecute not. But the ultimate end is you're going to die to yourself, and no one wants to die to themselves. And so we have a tendency to go where the crowd goes, the broad, narrow road. Well, ending up on a real positive note, he died and rose again, and first thing out of his mouth was, "Where's Peter?" "Oh, well, he's fishing." "Okay. Well, tell him I'm risen and tell him I'm coming." And so Jesus popped up on the shores with Peter out there in a boat. You know the story. And I love what Jesus said. "Hey, did you guys catch anything?" Well, Peter led the rest of them astray. And John said to Peter, I think he's talking about you. You're the leader. You're the guy. You're the mouth. I ain't going to say nothing. I think that's Jesus. Well, the Bible says Peter jumped over and swam in ashore. Before he could even open his mouth, Jesus said, "Are you hungry?" Those are the greatest words in your whole life. Let me ask you that this morning. Are you hungry? Are you cold, chilled? Have you been throwing your life into this world and it's not satisfying? You get the 63-inch television and you found out there's an 84-inch now. You're bummed. You're making payments on a piece of junk. One of the guys bought a new car. I mean, the thing is fast. Real fast. It doesn't stumble me, but if it was a convertible, it would stumble me. But even if I could be filled and warmed and my vocabulary changes and I am altering my behavior, I am compromising my position. I am seeking to get close to the fire, so it is pulling me in. I'm standing there. I'm now communicating with people I should not even be talking to. And now I'm setting. And now I'm fighting. Well, if you know that the fire that's in you is greater than the fire that's in the world, then you can go to the world's fires and put it out. But you must understand that the Bible declares that he will come with fire, Peter says. So God's fire is far greater than the world's fire. And so the fire that we warm ourselves never, ever satisfies. And it causes a man to deny his Lord. And it sends him back to the place he was at. And whatever place that is for me, it would be back in drugs and bikes and guns. And maybe to you, it's back to something you did before. Who knows? But what is really tragic about the story is even what he used to do so well, what he used to be so successful at, God even dried that up. And so Jesus said, "Hey, did you catch anything?" And they said, "Nope." And Jesus said, "Come here, Peter. Would you just sit and let me feed you? Let me warm you." And on the road to Emmaus, it says, and as he spoke, our hearts were filled and warm. Didn't we know it was him? For when he spoke, our hearts burned among us. And this fire will never go out. This is the fire that feeds. This is the fire that brings fellowship. This is the fire that purifies. This is the fire that forgives. He said to Peter, I have never changed my mind or anything. I love you, Peter. And you remember that promise I told you that I would use you to be the doorkeeper? Yeah. Well, nothing's changed. You see, Peter, you needed to go through this. You needed to know how strong you really were. But in your strength, you were foolish. You needed to know that I'm right and you're wrong. And when I speak, you need to listen, regardless if you understand or not. You need to understand, Peter, that I am the ultimate authority, this word. If I say you go over the sea. You don't go under and you're never going to sink. If I say feed the people, then you don't need money because I will use you as an instrument, Peter. Peter, if I say that flesh and blood did not reveal this, then that means my Father did, then you need to give him the credit. And Peter, if I ever use you, you need to come back and say it was a wonderful thing, seeing how the enemy had to yield to the authority, but it is the name of Jesus Christ and his name only. And Peter, you must come to realize that you can never go back. And you said it, Peter. Where can we go? You have the words to eternal life. But Peter, you're back here. Why are you back here? Because Peter, you never listened and you fought me the whole way. And I'm here to tell you that I'm still your answer. Would you like to have some food? Yes. Are you cold? Yes. Are you discouraged? Yes. Well, Peter, I'll take your failure and make you success. Oh, I'll take your disappointment and I'll make it the most appointed time. I'll take your discouragement and I'll make it the greatest opportunity. And by the way, Peter, I want you to preach to the Jews in chapter 2 of Acts. And Peter, when you get done with that, I want you to preach in the 8th chapter of Acts to the Samaritans. And when you're done with that, Peter, I want you to go preach in chapter 10 of the book of Acts to Cornelius and to the Gentiles. And Peter, you are the rock. You are one tough cookie. And Peter stood up and he beckoned with his hands and he said, you men of Galilee, you listen. You who crucified, he has taken and raised him from the dead. And thousands came to Christ because Peter finally found the right fire. There are two fires that burn in your life. There is the power of lust in this world that we live in, unfortunately. And there is a mysterious fire that consumes bushes and fills skies and destroys altars and destroys cities that he will pour upon you and he will purify you to do the work of God. You have to make a choice which fire you're going to live your life at. One is the crowds and emptiness. The other is a quiet fire ministering to the very needs of who you really are as a person. If you choose Jesus Christ, then he'll send you to this dinky little match and you will set the thing on fire. And the Bible declares that in less than 10 years, they turned the world upside down for Christ. We could not stop these men from preaching Jesus Christ. You have brought this man's doctrine, his blood upon our lives. You cannot preach any longer. Peter says, we must obey God rather than man. You can take us out, Paul said, or you can leave us here, but we're preaching. Those are men and women who were filled with the right type of fire. Check it out. Father, we ask this morning that, Lord, as we read where Peter is setting at the fire of the world, longing to find some sense of what in the world is going on, He was only drawn there because he was chilled, he was cold, he was empty, he was hungry. Lord, we forget that it had been 24 hours they had been up. Lord, we realize the warning of him being taken by the enemy, and Lord, all the other warnings happened within 12 hours, not within 3 years. It's just a few moments before you warned Peter, but he was too stubborn. Lord, you said all, and Lord, all did. And that's a difficult thing for us to come to, that you are right and we are wrong. Because we're always right and you're always wrong. Lord, it's like in marriage. It's always the other. Father, we are so prideful because we never think about, could it be me? Is it just me? Am I causing the problems because I am unwilling to yield to, Lord, what you want in my life, and I got to live my life the way I want? Well, Lord, I believe that you've called us to give our lives to you. And I believe that your Bible tells us that you will lead us and you will guide us, and that you will help us to be at peace even with our enemies. And that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Well, Lord, we have all these agendas. We have all these things. We want all these things done. And Lord, we have to stay so busy because we're so empty. Lord, we have to keep running here and running there and doing this and doing that and going after careers and everything else because deep within our own heart, we want to be successful. Well, we will never be successful by this fire because this earth will be destroyed. So why build on something that you're going to destroy? Lord, I'd rather invest my life in the fire that's going to remain and the ability to recreate a new heaven and a new earth. And take me into this world and to be a blessing, to move with passion. And Lord, to distinguish and to be able to say that can, that those people are mingled around, is empty. Let me show you real power. And that, Lord, that you would come from heaven. And that, Lord, you would heal the broken heart. That you would release the captivity of those who are held captive. That, Lord, that you would open our mouths, that we would praise you. That, God, you would open our hands, that we would serve you. That you would open our hearts, that we would love you. And so, God, I pray for myself and for our body. That, Lord, Peter did so good. He really did. He followed you. No one else did. Did the best he could. But boy, he was pulled into that fire. Lord, we cannot afford to get too far from you. Where our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Maybe there are some of you this morning that have never asked Christ to come into your heart and you're empty. Oh, you won't say it. But down deep in your heart, there's such a loneliness, there's such an emptiness. And you have tried to fill it with everything in your power. And you're even more flustered than you were before. The things of this world will never satisfy. It is only in the right relationship between you and God that he will fill that void. If you'd like to ask Christ to come in or rededicate your life to him, would you simply raise your hand that I might pray for you this morning? And raise him high. God bless you. And God bless you. And don't hesitate. God bless you. Anyone else before we close? God bless you. Raise him high that I might see him. Anybody else? Father, we thank you, Lord. We praise you. Thank you, Lord, for ending this story on a great note. Are you hungry? Yep. Are you cold? Yep. Are you flustered? Yep. Did you catch anything? Nope. Are you out of my will? Yep. Would you like to sit down and talk about it? Yes. Would you like me to feed you? Yes. Peter, feed my sheep. I'll feed you, Peter. You feed them. Oh, Lord, help us never forget the you feeding us. We might be faithful feeding others, but God, if you're not feeding us, we are at the wrong camp. In Jesus' name.